The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
It gives me great pleasure to welcome to studio Dr. Suzanne Crow, who's a paediatric intensive care consultant and president of the Irish Medical Council, to talk about navigating the health system, but also a relationship between the patient and patient's families and that system and how well it works. And you were writing about this in The Independent. Some people will have read it, Suzanne. And you shouldn't need to study law to get the best medical attention for your child. And this was born kind of out of a conversation you had with a parent of a child. Is that right? Tell me about that.
That's correct. I was at a conference last week that the HSE hosted around patient partnership. It was a really good conference, but there I met a parent who told me that they were almost finished their law degree. And before I had even a chance to jump in and say, that's amazing, well done, they went on to tell me that the reason why they were studying law was so they could actually reach to the Constitution to protect their child's rights and their own rights in accessing services. And it just struck me as being an incredible reflection of where services are at the moment.
And it flies in the face of this concept of co-design, which is what you were talking about at this conference, which is what? Explain that concept to us.
It means bringing the patient and the public right into the design of services and taking the lived experience and using it to inform how the service will be delivered. So it's a wonderful idea and it should be supported. It does mean listening to the patient and really taking it on board. And I think it's something we hear a lot from carers and parents of children with disabilities, that they know their own child and their own family member best, and they know what will work for themselves.
And does that exist in the system at the moment, kind of in pockets, or is it kind of absent everywhere? Is this something that you need to roll out across the board? Kind of paint that picture for me.
It does exist in pockets. It's very aspirational at the moment.
Okay.
I think, you know, I don't think anybody would disagree that it's a good idea. It's just translating it into services on the ground is the problem. And I suppose also thinking about individual funding decisions that are sometimes made that are completely out of step with that. For example, public health nurses deliver a lot of primary care services, both to older adults and to children with disabilities. And yet in the last year, the employment embargo did not protect the filling of vacancies for public health nurses. So that's a funding decision that's out of step with the aspiration of delivering good quality primary care services.
And the idea then of this, of a closer relationship between kind of patient and patient advocate and the system and the providers of healthcare within that system, is it to improve outcomes, or is it so that people feel more kind of engaged and that they have more of a stake in what's happening to them? Or is it both?
It's both. It's both. I mean, people feel respected if you actually ask them what they want and take on board their opinion. But it has been shown to have better outcomes as well.
I thought ye consultants don't listen. You don't want anyone else's opinion.
Not in paediatrics.
No, okay. Oh, that's a good answer. So in other areas. No, but that does bring me on to kind of a serious point, though, whereby there is a power imbalance. And you talk about this as well. You know what I mean? You are sick. You are vulnerable. You are in the care of somebody who knows much more about how you need to be cared for than you do. And maybe in the past, that has led to a kind of a sense of, you know, doctor knows best. You know, you sit there and you take your medicine, as it were, quite literally.
No, it's true. And that's why you have to bring the public in right at the start of the design of the service. You can't ask a carer in the middle of a crisis who needs a respite bed tonight what they would like in terms of service design. You have to bring them in at the early stages when things are calmer, and then you'll get much better engagement and probably more long-lasting results as well.
And are there other parts of the world that are further along this journey than us?
Yes, there are. I mean, there's centres like, I mean, in Holland and other Scandinavian countries are much better, I suppose, at doing some of these things than we are. But we're definitely talking about it. And I think the conversation that we're having is good. And also the fact that, you know, carers and parents are so incredibly motivated to help their children that they will literally do anything to get a better outcome.
And wherein then lie the stumbling blocks to us getting to this point where you could say we've got a good system of co-design?
I think we've got to think about what the reality of a carer's job is day to day and make really sensible decisions around that. A good example would be the recent budget where third level fees were reduced by €1,000, but only if you were studying full time. And carers will be studying part time. That's the reality of the situation. So I think we've got to think about how a parent is caring for a disabled child and how we can support them best and make sure that all of our decisions from top to bottom across education, social care and healthcare all knit up together.
Mm. And I, what sometimes people advocate in this space is that this idea that the money follows the patient, and then instead of kind of funding service providers, you provide funding directly to patients and their carers and their families, and then you allow them to use that money to access services, and that actually might improve the situation, because you know you're giving them a sense of empowerment, a sense of control over it as well. You're arguably creating a little bit of competition between service providers as well, and you might get better value for money.
No, I'm a huge fan of that. And in a sense, you could imagine that you would have a Kieran Cudahy pot that you would have from the day you're born all the way till the day you die. And you would have a lot of choice around how that's spent. And choice is actually a human right. It's actually not fair on a system to impose very limited options on patients and families.
What is your sense, though, of what appetite exists within the system to remodel it along these lines?
It's definitely starting. And actually, with the rollout of the six regional health authorities as part of Sláinte Care, patient partners are now being recruited and are forming part of the decision making. It's just a little bit patchy as to what it exactly looks like at the moment, but some of them are further ahead than others.
And do you think that will kind of that reformation of the system along the, it's not the old health board lines, but kind of back closer to it with those kind of regional areas of control, that it gives more of a sense of kind of local empowerment as well, and people know people, and
it might
be easier to kind of to buy into the idea that patients will have a say.
Absolutely, I think it will. And it'll allow, I suppose, the more individual kind of nature of a lot of these care packages, the more bespoke nature that is needed, which will be done in partnership with families by assessing needs at any one time and then designing the services that are needed for that child or that older adult as they need it then.
And I guess ultimately the kind of the nirvana at the end of this, or the promised land, is that you don't have a situation whereby a parent feels they need a law degree to navigate the system or to litigate their way to better services.
That is a grim perspective, all right. Or to train as a speech and language therapist, or to have to become a psychologist because you can't access CAMHS for your adolescent.
Yeah, which is happening kind of up and down. Has been happening for a long, long time. Suzanne, listen, thanks a million for coming in to us. Dr. Suzanne Crowe is a paediatric intensive care consultant, president of the Irish Medical Council. Like I say, been writing about this in The Independent. You can find the article online if you missed it. Suzanne, thank you again.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cudahy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.